May the Lord's richest blessings be yours today, and thank you for the privilege of being with you as we look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, Peacemakers. And you can find this study and 1,000 more on abidingchrist.com, 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 and go to Sermons and Bible Studies and click on Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. One researcher has noted recently that in the past 4,000 years, there's been less than 300 years of world peace. Why are there wars in the world? Why does world peace seem to elude our government leaders? Why are there at least 50 civil wars going on all the time in various parts of the world? Jesus is not referring to peacekeepers, but to peacemakers in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." The difference is a peacemaker actively overcomes evil with good. And some people are never happy unless they are fighting with someone. A peacemaker, on the other hand, finds great satisfaction in removing hostilities and effecting reconciliation between enemies. Most world leaders won't acknowledge it, but the Bible tells us the answer is sin, old-fashioned selfishness. Our problem is human greed, lust, selfishness, not political, economic, education, or social. These are symptoms of a deeper problem. It's sin and depravity in human heart. Until there is a change in the heart, there will never be any solutions to the problems on the surface. The source of the problem is within man. Nothing but a new heart, a new man, a new woman will bring peace. What is the heart of man? That's the real issue. What is deep within the man inevitably comes out of him. And as we have seen, these are not natural dispositions, but the dynamic spiritual changes in men's heart brought about by the power of God. The spiritually prosperous person has had a life-changing encounter with God. And that life-changing experience affects the way we approach every relationship in our lives. The spiritually prosperous people are peacemakers. The spiritually prosperous are in no way kin to the prosperity gospel cult in our day, but are those individuals who have a right relationship with God based on an intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ. By faith, they live above the chances, changes, and circumstances in life. Peace is God's highest good for man. In the New Testament sense, peace is not just the absence of trouble. It's everything that makes for the best that God in His grace gives to man. The words grace and peace are associated together many times in the New Testament. We have the best in life because God has graced us. It is the highest good God can give to man. The peacemaker is God's messenger to bring this peace with God upon the world. The God of peace is the source of this new life. Indeed, His very name is Yahweh, Jehovah, Yahweh Shalom, the Lord our peace, in Judges chapter 6, verse 24. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. He is God's peacemaker. He is our peace, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. He has brought us near by His own precious blood and taken us by the hand and brought us into the presence of the Father and introduced us to Him. Jesus gives us His peace, we're told in John chapter 14, verse 27, and chapter 16, verse 33. And moreover, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of peace. He applies and supplies the peace of God to our hearts, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The peacemaker draws upon this constant supply of God's peace. Only a man or woman in Christ can live this kind of life. They are one of a kind. No one else is like them. They're different because they are the children of God. And the one clear objective of the peacemaker is that the Lord God be glorified in all that he does. Every believer is expected to be a peacemaker. He has laid aside his own selfish ambitions and seeks to glorify God in all that he does. Jesus Christ is our best model of a peacemaker. His concern was to glorify the Father at all times, according to John chapter 17. Why are the peacemakers spiritually prosperous? How are they blessed? The world system doesn't know the kind of peace that God gives. It is a deep, deep peace of God in the soul of man. God is perpetually at war with sin, namely the world, the flesh, the devil. Sin is the enemy of peace, and therefore believers living in sin are great sources of troublemaking. We have to keep short accounts with sin. And as soon as the Holy Spirit of the Word of God convicts us, we must confess it and turn from it. The peacemaker reveals the spiritual war going on in the world. He is salt and light that points to the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Only the pure in heart can be true peacemakers in a world of unrighteousness. Jesus talks about the peacemaker in Matthew chapter 5. Peacemakers are those disciples who strive to prevent contention and strife. However, they're not peacekeepers, but active makers of peace. They use their influence to reconcile opposing party strife among individuals, families, churches, and communities. They change the hostile attitudes to attitudes that seek the best interest of everyone. Peacemaking is the work of God. History is lined with failures of man-made peace accords. True peace is accomplished only by the blood of Jesus Christ, who gave himself that sinners can have peace with God. Peacemakers bring sinners to Christ so that they can have peace with God. And when hearts are changed and enmity is removed, man can have a common objective that brings peace. It must be kept in mind that the peace of God is not peace at any price. God brought sin out in the open and dealt with it. God made peace with sinful, depraved man at an immense cost. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can make propitiation for us, according to Romans chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. Jesus Christ, the righteous, is the propitiation for our sins, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. This word propitiate, or propitiation, means the turning away of wrath by an offering. God's wrath is his settled, controlled, holy antagonism against all sin. Propitiate is the appeasement of the wrath of God by the love of God through the death of Jesus Christ. Christ is the priest offering himself as the perfect sacrifice for sins in Romans chapter 3, verse 25. God himself takes the initiative and sheer unmerited love. He turns his own wrath away by his own blood. God's justice has been satisfied. and our sin debt has been paid in full. His holiness is satisfied. God's wrath is turned away from us on His own Son who died in our place. Any other concept of peace is cheap peace. True peace with God is an expensive treasure. We must never compromise with truth just to bring about false peace. And the moment we do, we cheapen it. A false peace is more dangerous than open war. All it does is cover up the symptoms. The Apostle James wrote in James chapter 3, verse 17, "The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable." We enjoy peace with God at a very high cost. Are these peacemakers those who make peace between man and God or between man and man? Well, probably either interpretation is possible. However, we can never bring peace between men until they have peace with God. His peace is the solid foundation for all other relationships. Peacemakers are at peace with God. We find this in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 11. We are justified by faith in Jesus Christ and have peace with God. It is a valid observation that all of the other Beatitudes are being acted upon. Quarrelsome people are not peacemakers. They have neither found peace with God nor peace within their own hearts. You cannot be an active maker of peace until you have first found peace with God and peace within yourself. Peace with God involves a new nature, a pure heart. Only the person who is pure in heart can become a peacemaker. There must be no hidden agendas, no selfish ambitions, no double-mindedness with the peacemaker. The person who is filled with envy, jealousy, covetousness, hostility, can never be a peacemaker. Out of the heart proceeds a whole list of things that prevent individuals from becoming peacemakers. Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, verses 20 through 23, "That which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles him. From within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of covetousness and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness." All these things proceed from within and defile the man. The heart must be cleansed of this evil before man can possibly make peace. The change must take place from the inside out. Peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, we're told in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, and Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. We most resemble our Heavenly Father when we are filled with peace. The perfect peacemaker is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 tells us, "For He Himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall." The peacemakers demonstrate in their own lives how to have inward peace with God and how to be instruments of peace in the world. We can never be peacemakers until Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives and sin is put to death by the work of the Holy Spirit. We have been called to be ministers of reconciliation because we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ in Romans chapter 5 verse 1. And so therefore, we are no longer at war with God, and we're no longer at war with ourselves. The peace of God passes all understanding and rules over our lives like a king in Philippians chapter 4 verse 7. So therefore, if we have peace with God, we can have peace with other people. Dr. John R. Broadus said there is no more godlike work to be done in this world than peacemaking. Peacemakers show they are children of God by using every opportunity to bring about reconciliation with others. God is a peacemaker, and they are like their Father. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. Peacemakers seek to live at peace with others because they are at peace with God in themselves. And because of this peace, God takes us and uses us in a ministry of reconciliation. Peacemakers use their influence to affect reconciliation between God and others. And ultimately, peacemakers are concerned that all men be at peace with God. And that essentially is the role of the peacemaker. He goes out of his way to reconcile lost men with the living God. It can only take place through the peace that Jesus Christ gives. A great example of this peacemaker is the Apostle Paul. If anyone was transformed from troublemaker to peacemaker, it was the Saul of Tarsus. How would you have liked to be a friend of Saul before his conversion to Christ? Luke tells us the very air that he breathed was threats and murder against the believers in Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And then he met Christ on the road to Damascus and became a man in Christ, a peacemaker. Stephen's death was a testimony to Saul of God's peace in his heart. As Saul's henchmen were stoning him to death, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Acts chapter 7, verses 59 and 60. You cannot kill a peacemaker because the source of his peace is an eternal God who shall never die. Even today, in many parts of the world, peacemakers give up their lives making peace. Men still treat them like they did our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're willing to be a peacemaker, you must be willing to pay the price, because there will be those who oppose the peacemaker. The world has its share of troublemakers. They are called agitators, rabble-rousers, spark-plugs, instigators, dissidents, heretics, insurgents, malcontents, mavericks, misfits, rebels, you know them. I am not talking about those agents of change we need in our organizations, including our local churches. We need those individuals who make us stop and think, evaluate, and don't always think the way we do, or see things the way we see them. However, the opposite of the peacemaker is one who has attitudes which are hostile, indifferent, angry, bitter, judgmental, obsessively critical nitpickers. Even the Apostle John has the Theotrephus, who loves to be first among men. Thank the Lord God for Demetrius, who received a good testimony from everyone, and for Gaius, who was also a member of that church. Like the Apostle John and Paul warned, there are shortcuts to peace, and we dare not take them. They not only cheapen peace, they also cheapen grace. We must never sacrifice biblical truth and solid doctrine for a passing moment of tranquility. There are some things that must never be compromised. How do we become peacemakers? Let's take time to examine our attitudes and behaviors. Observe your own behavior and attitude toward other believers, the church and its leadership. If we're prone to be bearers of gossip, bad news, negative attitudes, bitterness, resentments, hostility toward others, then let's start working at changing our attitudes toward others. Let's decide now to make love a priority in our lives. Let's make the building of relationships based upon love and grace an emphasis in our lives. Take some time and do an in-depth study of the principles of interpersonal relationships in the Bible. Start off with Romans chapters 12 through 16. You'll be amazed at how many passages are addressed to interpersonal relationships. And these chapters emphasize the good relationships within the body of Christ. Philippians chapter 4 verses 1 through 9 gives us an excellent model of becoming peacemakers. There were two women who were outstanding leaders in the church at Philippi. Their names were Iodia and Syntyche. Paul asked the leaders in the church to help them. They may have had strong personalities and wanted to do things their way. Take a piece of paper and respond to some questions and apply these verses to your own Iodian synthesis in your church. What are my attitudes toward Iodian synthesis? What are my feelings about Iodian synthesis? What am I saying to myself about Iodian synthesis? Use the tape recorder analogy. If you were to take a tape recorder and place it against your brain and record everything you're saying to yourself about these two ladies and play it back for the whole wide world to listen to, what would you hear yourself saying? Yes, that stuff. What am I silently saying to myself about them? The peacemaker also learns to be quiet. Be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath, is the behavior of a peacemaker. There are times when it's best not to reply. Don't make a comment. Don't react with your natural instincts. Don't repeat what you hear. Don't take sides. Lay aside your personal biases in decision-making. Strive to be objective. Know when not to speak. Humble yourself before man and God and ask for wisdom from God. Pray with thanksgiving for Iodian synthesis. What is it that you can honestly thank God for in the lives of these two women? Start with one thing, but don't stop there. Write them down. Pray over them daily. Encourage and build up these ladies in your church. Stop being anxious about Iodian synthesis. Stop worrying. Do not be full of anxious care over the situation. You have committed it to God in prayer, and now let go of it. Paul says, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Have you sincerely prayed for God's will to be done? Have you prayed that God will bless your enemy? Lord, I thank you for Iodia. Lord Jesus, bless Syntyche. Be specific and thank God and ask His blessings upon them. Change what you're saying to yourself about individuals. Apply verses 8 and 9 to the situation. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything is worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Do what you know to be the right thing to do. Instead of expressing your bitterness, pause and don't say a word. Just think through the situation. Find something encouraging to say, or just don't say anything at all. Start taking off the mask. Remind yourself out loud that just like you, they are sinners saved by grace. in your idle moments, write down things you like about Yodi and Synthesi and what you like about your church and Jesus Christ. Look over your list at least once a day and remind yourself of the good things in your life, and you can become a peacemaker in any situation. Do what you know to be the right thing to do at the right time. Practice the gesture of love. It's a volitional choice. It's something we do. It may be bake a cake or a pie. It may be to take them out to lunch. I have a friend who says, love them until you slobber all over them. What's the reward for the peacemaker? Well, the peacemaker enjoys inner peace and security in the relationship with God, others, and himself. God is the actor. He will call them his own children. To be called means to become. They shall be called sons of God. Means owned. Sons in this verse is figurative of the children of God. It includes sons and daughters who have been born of God through the regenerative work of God the Holy Spirit. God has a relationship with believers like a father does with his children. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be owned as the children of God. God owns them as his children. And since we're his children, we must act like our father. We have his character. And when we become peacemakers, we become more like our Father in heaven. God has made peace with man through his Son, Jesus Christ. Christ is our peace. Peacemakers do what their Father has done. And how often in our selfishness we want to stand up for our rights and stage a protest for our rights. If God did that, we would all spend eternity in hell. But God, in his mercy and peace, sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to make peace with us through his own blood. The Prince of Peace gave himself to make peace with us. Peacemakers shall be known as the sons of God because that's what they are. The Bible treats references to people as sons of God, children of God, with great reserve. It's always an act of God's mercy and God's grace. Colossians chapter 1 verses 19 and 20 tells us, "For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven." He is our peace because he gave himself that we might be at peace with God. What is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ today? Have you come to a sense of peace with God that comes only through a personal faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Well, my friend, right now, this very moment, you can have peace with God by confessing to him that you are a sinner and that Jesus Christ died for all of your sins on the cross. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved today. And every time we lead someone to Christ, we change the tide of world history. Oh, my dear friend, believe on Jesus Christ. He will give you peace that only God can do. The heart is deceitful beyond all imagination. Only God can cleanse the heart and give you a new heart. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today, and you can have his peace. May the Lord's richest blessings be yours today.